Hey folks, how's it going? It is Monday night, November 7th, 2016. You're listening to episode 46 of the AIH Superfans podcast, and we've got all of our superfan pals again together for you to talk your latest Winnipeg Jets news and notes. I am at Slip with five eyes, or Slip.
I'm Brian, at Brian from AIH.
And I'm Ryan, DJ underscore Biff underscore WPG.
So, Ryan, you did so well last time, you get to come back.
I know, I feel privileged, yeah.
It's kind of punishment that you have to talk to us again. No,
that's okay. I moved this time into a different room. Hopefully I sound a little better.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I was just trying to be so quiet last time, you know?
Pappy is going to be joining us too, apparently. He's lost in internet land somewhere, so hopefully we'll be bringing him on shortly. But obviously a lot of newsworthy stuff. I know, Brian, I'm sure you're dying, as well as I am, to get to talk of the game this weekend that we were at in Detroit.
But it was a great game.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
It was a great game. But I think that people out there probably want to hear something else a little bit more because, of course, the Jets decided to make some news today, and why don't you... Have you checked anything? Pappy missed it. He came on to our DM thread and is like, what's happening? Like,
you guys woke me up. I was taking a nap on my couch before work, and my phone kept buzzing. And I eventually just gave up and checked, and I'm like, oh, awesome. Didn't expect that.
So
I was sitting at work kind of looking at my phone, and then the tweet from Elliot Friedman showed up, but I just kind of looked at it, and I looked at it again. I was like, really? Like, it just didn't seem real because, like, you know, we've been waiting for some news for so long, and when I finally saw the tweet, I just, you know, I couldn't believe it was actually happening. Sounds strange, but.
So, Brian, do you want to kind of go over the details of what we're talking about for those who may not know?
For those who don't know, the Jets finally got around to signing Jacob Trouba to a 2-year, $6 million deal at three per.
No, he's 2.5 this year and 3.5 next, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I just saw three AAV.
Yeah, it's two and a half this year.
And then 3.5, yeah.
So it's back-ended. Actually,
I think I read something. I think Chris Johnson tweeted that I think it's 3.2 this year. And two, I don't know, because he signed the contract late, it's different. Like, it's higher this year than next year. I think it's 2.3 next year and 3.2 this year, I think. I'd have to check for that tweet, but it's because he signed so late.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, regardless of what he's going to get paid in money, it's a $3 million per year, 2-year deal. My initial reaction, because I saw it when it came through on my notifications via the score. So I kind of glanced at it, and it said Jets signed Jacob Trouba, 2 years, $6 million. And immediately I thought it was a $6 million per year deal. And
that's what I thought too.
Yeah, and I didn't really even blink at it. I was like, oh, he got quite a bit of money there. All right, good for him. And then I went to Twitter and saw that it was $3 million. And holy shit.
Bridge deal. Chevy wins.
At this point, I mean, he kind of does, right?
I looked up that tweet. It's 3.3 this year and 2.8 next year because he signed late. But yeah.
Okay. So I think the initial speculation across the board is that this deal, the benefit that Jacob Trouba gets in giving up a lot of money is that this is now a very tradable contract, right?
Right.
Yeah, very.
So he basically, you know, if they're shopping him around as an unsigned commodity, if you're another team, you've got to deal with this dude who, you know, is refusing to play with one team already, and there's probably some disagreement over what his value actually is, and what does he actually have to prove? He's been holding out. You have to negotiate the deal with him. And so there's all these unknowns. Is someone sewing over there?
Oh, no, I'm opening my door. I'm changing rooms real quick.
Okay. And so So ultimately, though, he, you know, he signs this deal, and the benefit for him is that if he really wants out of Winnipeg, this is a pretty good route to get him out, right?
Yeah, that's a great contract. Like, I don't think there's too many teams that wouldn't be able to fit that contract in, you know, without making too many big moves. I mean, that's really appealing to every team in the league.
All right, so lo and behold, a little bit late, but Pappy has joined us. We are just in the middle of, just started talking about the Trouba deal, which you didn't know about until we told you about it on our DM thread.
Well, yeah, I was driving. I didn't hear anything yet, so...
Our exclusive Superfan Elite DM thread.
It's the elite of the elite. Yeah. Awesome. I made a prediction, what was it, 11 days ago that something would be done within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, your details were a little off, off
you
though.
You thought it was long-term.
Slightly off, yeah. No, slightly.
So he's making less than half of what you thought he'd make per year, and 2 years instead of seven?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I like close. I like it how you close, said, you know, hey, I said it was going to happen, though.
Well, yeah. Anyways, it was one of two things, right? It was going to be one of two things. Either he was going to sign long-term or sign this bridge, but they weren't going to trade him. That's what my prediction was. But
well, now it looks like he's kind of set up to be traded.
I doubt it.
Well,
do you really think they're going to trade him at this point?
Okay, so let's
not,
look.
Not now, but eventually they will. Yeah.
Well, let's look at the situation. They just signed him, so now they have four defensemen who they have to protect in the upcoming expansion lottery or the expansion draft, right? If they're going to keep the him, Myers, Bufflin and Enstrom. So they're going to have to go 4-4 if that's the case. So now you're talking about going 4-4 and potentially losing one of your promising forwards for the sake of a guy who 1 year after that's done, now what's he going to sign with you?
Minimum 2 years. Maximum 2 year. Minimum 2 years.
Like it feels like to me, and I don't know if this will actually happen, is that Chevy may be banking on getting Trouba traded for a defenseman, maybe a prospect or a defenseman who can't be exposed. And then if he needs to get picks and whatnot, it almost feels like that's what he's gunning for. So the speculation.
Who would that be? And who would be willing to trade that away at this point?
Well, the initial speculation on Twitter from a few folks was Provorov, which I kind of went back at and said, look at the Flyers situation. Like, they're not going to take, they can't take any salary on without dumping. They're right up at the cap. So if even a $3 million really nice little bridge deal here, you've got a team that needs to dump salary to add that to their books. And then,
why would they take on a defenseman that they'd have to protect when they've got a defenseman that they don't have to protect?
Yeah. Yeah. So
the logistics of making this deal at this point this year aren't very good. They aren't very good. Then you look at the forwards that you have to protect on the Jets right now. Like, who would they be willing to be without at this point? Brian Little sticks out to me. Number one is somebody they probably won't protect going into the last year of his deal, right?
Maybe. Right. I mean, now you're but at this point, now you're weighing Little versus Trouba. Like, you've got these two situations. And I guess the big difference is that you have control over Trouba, right?
For the next 3 years. And he's a right shot defenseman. You know, it's kind of 6.5 dozen the centerman. Or a centerman that I've got 1 year left on his long-term contract that probably won't sign here or we won't commit to as a UFA, or a defenseman that's here for at least another 3 years. To me, a trade doesn't make sense unless they get somebody that is going to be a home run for True North and the Jets, right? And the likelihood of that happening is very slim. At this point, very, very, very slim. I don't know who there is. There's no willing trade partners right now, right? Now that he's signed a 2-year deal at $3 million per year, yes, it's more appealing, but, you know, everybody's facing these same problems that the Jets are going to face for the expansion draft too, right? So, you know, logistically, it's not as easy a deal to make. Yes, it's easier because now he has a contract and it's cheap, but really, who is there that can really make this deal?
Well, the team that took him would have to protect him, right?
Yes.
So that's, you know.
So the Jets are looking for somebody that they wouldn't have to protect. Well, all these guys have somebody that they don't have to protect. So why would they have to limit their, you know, their protection list to bring them on? Yeah. Right? But.
And unfortunately,
the first or second year defenseman, right? Like a guy in his first or second year of his entry levels, what the Jets
get
back, right?
Yep.
That's tough, you know, because then, like you said, another team's given up that guy that they don't have to protect, and that's, you know, that's pretty valuable.
Mm-hmm. Like, this deal isn't as easy as people would make it out to be. Not at all.
I think it's easy because it's a lower cap hit, but the expansion draft kind of just makes everything a lot more complicated on both ends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, the best case scenario is they find somebody that's exactly like a Jacob Trouba as far as being an asset that you'd have to protect at the expansion draft. That's what I think. Like, if a deal is going to happen, then a deal is going to happen with somebody who's cap-strapped, right? That has, you know, that has cap issues moving forward and can use the extra $2.5-3 million, right? So maybe somebody like an Anaheim might be a willing trade partner depending on where they are at the end of the season or what situation presents itself, right? But they're going to need to move and do some cap clearing to move into next year anyways, right? So maybe that's a scenario, but I can't see a likely scenario happening in the very, very near future anyways, let alone before the expansion draft, right?
Well, could you see something where you're getting close to trade deadline time and one of the contending teams says, you know, this is what can put us over the top. Cost us $3 million this year. Maybe we lose him in the expansion draft. Who knows? But we treat him like a rental and we offer up, you know, a high draft pick and prospects at that point.
And at that point, the Jets won't be willing to make that trade because they haven't been willing to make that trade beforehand, right? To be honest, right? The Jets haven't been willing to move off of what their ask is, which is at the bare minimum a like asset, somebody that they can control for the next 4 or 5 years, and a defenseman, top pairing defenseman, top four at least defenseman is what they're looking for. So how are they going to find that from a contender when they're trying to contend this year?
Who, the Jets?
It's not. Yeah, who are they going to find in a contender that's going to be like a, you know, 6-1, half a dozen deal? Because that's what they want. And at this point, now that they have him under contract for 2 years, why would they deal him for anything less?
Guess it depends on... it depends on... I mean, I'm curious to know, like, what... You know, there's still a long term here. And I know we've got 4 years. You know, 4 years is a really long time, obviously, right? But this was a pretty ugly situation. And I think that there's still a lot of speculation that this isn't over. Maybe this goes away if he comes back and he's playing fine and no one talks about this anymore. And a month later, we're not talking about it, right? But it still feels like something that's looming over this team.
Yeah, it doesn't feel resolved to me at all, the situation.
I'd say that if this was a mostly veteran unit, right? But it's not. This is the youngest this team's ever been. You know, you've got guys in the locker room that have been here for less than 2 years. You got a bunch of rookies playing on this team this year. And this is a team very much in transition, right? Bufflin signed long term, but to tell you the truth, Little and Wheeler aren't here long term, right? There's only a couple years left for them. So, and from all accounts, there have been guys working and talking to Trouba to get him to sign too, right? there's still guys that want him in that locker room. So
I'm sure most of them want him in that locker room. Look at your defense that you've been icing for the last 10 games.
Connor Hellebuck's probably pretty happy tonight.
Yeah, Bufflin's like, you know, I like to play, but not half the game, please.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, right? These guys are professionals at the end of the day. You know, they know that at the bare minimum, every guy on this team is going to try to eat as much as they can while they can eat, right? Like, I mean, it's a business. These guys all need to get paid or all know that they're here to make money, right? You know, you think Mark Scheifele is not going to want him on the team? Like, honestly, the guy just raked it in this year. So he's going to welcome him with open arms. This team's going to welcome him with open arms. And if and when they start winning, this is all going to be forgotten. So, you know, what's the truth? The truth is he signed a 2-year deal with arbitration rights at the end of this deal, and he'll be here for another 2 years after that bare minimum. Bare minimum, the Jets have control of him for 4 years.
So do you really think that he's with the Jets for 4 years? Is that what you think?
I don't know. It's a strong possibility. It's a strong possibility. What's he going to do? Not play? That didn't work for him.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Play badly? and limit his earning potential moving forward? No, he's going to play, and he's going to play as hard as he can and as well as he can for the Jets, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to be best for him long term, right? And if the Jets don't waver, well, they don't need to. They have control for 4 years.
I mean, obviously, he's going to play to the best of his abilities. That's you know, clear. He's a professional. I'm willing to put some money down on a timeline for when I think he gets moved. If you are
okay, so what's the bet?
Well, it seems like you're looking out pretty long term in terms of how long he's going to be around.
He doesn't get.
I say he doesn't
get dealt.
I say he doesn't last this season.
Okay, I'll put money on that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm with Alan.
Okay, how much?
I don't know. You name your price.
You still have to pay me for the Superfans Football League. You name your price.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do? Let's do money wise. Let's do $25 and let's take it to Twitter. Through our AIH Superfans handle and get them to vote on some form of humiliation for the loser.
Oh, like a banner or a background or Avi.
Yeah, we can discuss it on the DM thread, and then we'll put four options to a vote.
Sure. Stewart jersey.
A what? A Stewart jersey? I'm not buying it.
Yep. Loser has to buy a Stewart jersey.
Okay, so let's put it this way. So what if Jacob Trouba has never wanted to be in Winnipeg? And what if he's been asking to get traded or asking to be removed from the situation for a while? At this point, wouldn't the Jets have made a move to trade him before the draft or before training camp? Or before any other news would spill or any other speculation would be bandied about a situation? You think of it.
Yeah.
You think of it.
Well,
you think that he just sprung this last spring and said, "Hey, I want out of here." And they're just, you know, reacting to it from May on? Or do you think knowing the situation, knowing what type of dad Jacob Trouba has and how he's tried to control his son's career and his image and everything like that, do you really think that they've kept it quiet for that long and held back what their desires were until spring of 2016?
Maybe not, but right. We know when both sides say this came out, right? We can only go with what both sides are saying at this point, which is that this formal request was made in May.
Right.
And at the time, you know, I'm not saying that this contract guarantees that he gets traded. It just sounds like this contract gets him closer. Now, Chevy still has to find the right deal coming back. But if you're a GM sitting with another team, again, now you've taken away a huge unknown from this guy, right? You know that he's a $3 million salary. You still might have to figure out, you know, how to fit him into your lineup. But if he comes back and he plays lights out for the Jets, that makes him attractive too. And yeah, maybe Chevy says, well, fuck it, I'm not letting him go at this point. But I bet you his offers might get a little juicier.
But how juicy?
I don't know. Connor McDavid. Like, I don't know how juicy.
But really, what are teams going to offer that are going to, you know? Okay, so then he starts playing lights out and it is everything they want him to be. How willing are the Jets going to be to move him, knowing that they have control of him for the next 4 years, knowing that they just played hardball with him, made him sit until mid November without a contract, and pretty much denied his request for a trade, and now he's playing lights out for me, and I've got bare minimum a 2-year deal before he gets to his arbitration, right? How willing would they be to move him at that point?
It depends on what the offer is. It depends on what somebody wants to give for this guy, right?
And that therein lies the problem, because they're not going to move off of what they wanted. And who's got the right situation to make that deal happen? Definitely not this year. Too much is unknown with that expansion draft, I think. To me, that's the big X factor this year. But whatever. I'm just saying it doesn't make sense for the Jets to do it at this point, when they've already held out and denied him his request this long. Now they've got him for cheap, right? Now if they keep him on the team, that 6 million or 5.6 that they're willing to spend, they've got 2.6 million under that budget that they can spend to acquire something else or some other asset over the next year.
Yeah, because that's what they're going to do, right? They're going to spend money, because that's what they've been doing all this
well,
time.
Well, they have.
Have they?
They have.
What?
Sean Mathias?
On their RFAs, right? And then there's stuff coming down the pipe.
What did they spend on their RFAs? They gave Shifley a big contract, and they gave Trouba shit.
Huge. Yeah, because that's what a bridge dictates.
Yeah,
it's the highest dollar value for a bridge this year.
Higher
than PK Subban's $2.5 million bridge deal.
Thought it was 2.9.
Is it 2.9?
I think it was 2.9. Wow. Yeah. So it is the highest bridge out of all those guys, like in the same draft class, and kind of like, you know, defensemen of that age.
Any thoughts from anyone not named Pappy or Slip?
I don't know. I do believe he's going to get traded this year. I think this contract is just, it's really easy to move. Like, I don't think there's a team in the league that couldn't make that contract fit somewhere without too much work, you know, moving guys around. Like,
but I don't know. This franchise
I don't think Chevy wants to move him, though. Like, and what if he comes back and he plays great and the team plays great and they get on a roll? Like, I can see that being enticing to Trouba, but you just don't know how much he's got his heart set on leaving, you know? Like you mentioned before, it kind of came out of nowhere, like that he wanted to leave and wanted to move on. Like, there was no indication before the end of the season that he wanted to move on, and you know, he let them know in May, publicly, sure. But you know, how much would success, you know, affect his desire to stay or not? Maybe he's dead set on leaving, and he sees this as just the next step to getting traded. But we won't know. It'll be really interesting, I think, tomorrow or whenever it is the next day that Trouba's actually in town and he's got to, you know, step up in front of some microphones and answer some questions, you know?
Yeah. But in all honesty, the Jets have been acting like they've wanted to appease him in some way, shape, or another.
Because he's a great
last couple of years. Well, yeah, for sure. So they're making it more appealing for him to be here. Why?
Need him on their defense.
like to the extent that they hired his brother to work for the Moose.
Right.
They've done everything in their power to make it, you know, more appealing for him to stay here.
By the way, his brother his brother who is now best friends with Brian, I think, on Twitter.
Oh yeah, he found my tweet about a Red Wings fan offering to buy my jersey at the game the other night.
Who did he follow? He followed somebody, right?
No, he just favorited my tweet. I don't think he followed me.
No, like I said, it'll be really interesting to see how this next couple of days plays out. Like I said, once he gets in front of some microphones and they ask him some questions, and also when Myers gets back into the lineup, you're going to have that top four. Everybody's going to be healthy. Where does everybody fit? You know, like, is Morrissey on the third pair? Is Myers on the top? You know, it'll be kind of interesting to see where it shakes out here.
Yeah, I don't see Paul Maurice.
Did you break up Morrissey and Byfuglien? They've been so good, you know.
Well, it's relative.
Sure.
It's relative to their success too, right? So
sure.
This is the worst start that they've had in the 6 years that they've been back, apparently.
I thought they were worse last year. I thought their start last year was worse.
Second worst.
No, weren't they 8-4-1 last year?
Yeah, they were.
After 8-4-1 after 13 games last year.
8-4-1, yes, last year, yeah.
Oh, and then they shit the bed. All right.
They had a worse start the year they made the playoffs, I think.
Oh, great. Lots to look forward to. They also have, I'm not a huge face-off guy, but they're by far the lowest face-off percentage, second worst power play. 16th in the penalty kill, though, as of like the start of games tonight. So they're not, you know, they're almost in the upper half there. Yeah.
That only gets better with Trouba, too, right? So.
Well, we'll see.
And when you put your best sniper on your first power play unit, that would be a good start.
Lowry? Yeah. I'm Lowry's.
Great.
I agree. So Brian and I went to a game on Friday, and we want to talk about it because it was awesome.
That was a great game.
Yeah, we both were at the Detroit-Winnipeg game at the Joe Louis Arena. And Brian, why don't you tell us about what you thought of like the arena, the game? It was your first Jets game, right?
No, my second.
Oh, you saw them play in Columbus.
Yeah, I was down in Columbus.
Okay, so what'd you think?
So Columbus, I think, has a much nicer arena.
You don't say.
Yeah, by a lot. I noticed.
Is it really that bad there? Like, it looks ugly on TV.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there were ceiling panels missing. I noticed.
It's a dumpy arena. I mean, it was built in 1980, so they haven't really done a lot of great renovation. There's one concourse. The concourse is pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of space in that concourse. They're selling a lot of stuff. There's a lot of displays, etc. And you come in from the single concourse, of course, and you either walk down to the lower level or up to the upper level. And that's it.
Also a shared concourse.
Yeah. So Brian and I were both near the top. Three sections over, but still. The wall, like when you sit, if you sit in the back row, the wall is right behind you. They bought like those plastic hooks, like that have the adhesive that you can just stick to the wall for you to hang your coats on. And their scoreboard, it's got a video screen on it. It's not HD. Like, when you look at the video screen, it looks like you're watching a game from the 80s. And the rest of the scoreboard is like the digital clock. So, yeah.
Like, it's the old, like, at the old arena, like,
yeah.
The Winnipeg arena?
Yeah, like, where it's all lit. Classic. Yeah. And then in the corners of the Joe Louis Arena, they have these displays, but they're, the light displays. Like, as in, you know, like, if... They'll bring up, like, oh, go Wings, go, and there's a couple of bulbs burnt out, like shit like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they've known for a few years that they're getting a new arena, so they just decided to stop doing any maintenance at all.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty much.
Their new arena opens next year. It's going to be probably pretty fantastic. The one thing, though, about the Joe, as dumpy as the arena is, you know, you get such a different atmosphere in arenas like that. They're just louder. It felt like the fans feel more connected with each other. I don't know if you thought the same thing, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when the Wings were in the lead for a lot of the game, it was like a fucking party in there. Fans, really? Yeah, like all, you know, they play great music. Fans are singing everything. They do the wave, which annoys me, but then they fucking play, they play Beach Boys when the wave is going, and they actually acknowledge in the building that they've got a wave going, so it actually makes it kind of, like, less crappy.
Because they say, hey, the wave is going on?
Or? Yeah, and then they play Beach Boys music. It's great. They're playing Surfing USA. So it's like, now we're all partying, because they're playing surf music, so it makes sense, kind of.
I had to keep standing up during play when they were doing the wave. I would just stand up in time with the wave so I could actually see the game.
Yeah, because everybody's doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was... You can't see... if you sit, there's no way you're seeing the game during it.
Really?
Yeah, the seating is done in the style where, like, if the person in front of you is leaning forward, you can't see.
Yeah, that was a big problem.
Well, it's kind of like that at MTS Center, too.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, the sight lines in the new arenas are a little better because it's a little more steep with the seating, but at the Joe, it's not. And the seats are fucking uncomfortable. Like, were they plastic or felt? I don't know but like, those seats are, like, 20 years old.
And very, very small.
Yeah. Yeah, my big fat ass couldn't fit in the... When I was in Pittsburgh and I sat in those seats, I was like, did I lose 40 pounds? Like, the seats are huge. And then in the Joe, nope. And then the game. I guess there was a hockey game too, right?
I think.
What was your favorite part?
There was a third period. I know that.
Yeah, there was in the first, I actually moved over and I was sitting in the row behind Brian, and then eventually that row filled up and I had to leave. But during that time, Chris Thorburn had a breakaway, and Brian and I looked at each other like, what the fuck?
Because that's just the biggest tease, because then you see breakaway and then you see number 22.
And then he doesn't score, and you're like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then all your hopes are gone.
The other thing with that game is that two of the Jets goals, was it the Scheifele goal and the first Tanev goal, they didn't know at the time, like, the Jets claimed that they scored.
Yeah.
Play
kept going, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but then they had to actually go to replay, so I was sitting amongst Detroit fans, and they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, it's a goal, here we go, and then they'd say it was a goal, and like, yeah, and I'd stand up and be like, woo, and then they'd tell me to sit down. Whereas, like, obviously all the Detroit goals were, you know, you knew that they'd happened at the time. And then, of course, the best goal, that Tanev goal, that breakaway was fantastic.
Yeah, how was that in there? That was cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone cleared out.
It's about Jets fans.
It's in Detroit. There were fewer Jets fans there than I thought there would be.
Yeah, I thought there'd be more.
Like, you could see some fans kind of scattered throughout the building, but I don't think that there were more than... there couldn't have been more than 500 Jets fans in the whole building.
If that. It was a pretty good cheer when Tanev scored that goal.
Yeah.
Every single Jets fan, aside from the two of us, I'm pretty sure was wearing a fake jersey, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
some really, really shitty counterfeits.
There's like some terrible ones out there, holy man.
Like the light blue ones? The light blue ones are the
baby
ones.
Blue, yeah.
Yeah, the baby blue lad. There was a guy on the bus from Windsor that had one of those. Yeah. We both wore our matching Trouba jerseys, so that was fun.
That's why he signed.
Yeah. We were like, come back, Jacob, please.
He was there, he saw our jerseys, and...
He was in the press box, apparently.
Yeah, so he saw us, and he's like, they still like me.
Maybe I should come back.
Yeah, I need to sign there.
If I would have known that, I would have snuck up there.
A press box or something, I don't know. Chevy said something about meeting with somebody in a press box. Maybe it was his agent, but...
Oh, they met with Overhart in the stairwell.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Did you spy on them?
No.
I don't even know where the stairwells are in there, but I would not want to get caught in a stairwell in the Joe.
I went down the stairwell, actually.
And you had a hard time getting back to your hotel.
Oh, yeah.
I had to cross the fucking international border, and I got home before you did.
Yep. We had to take a taxi, and this guy drove like an idiot, and he took the longest way possible.
That's what taxis do, though.
You should have taken the people mover, man.
Yeah, it was a $30 cab ride, $6 for an Uber there.
Lovely. It's 75 cents on the people mover, I'm just saying. You might get robbed, but it'll get you around. So that game was it was a fun experience. I'm sure for both of us, our last game at the Joe. Like, I don't think I'm going back this year.
No, I don't.
Oh, and
how about the live reaction to that Liney goal, bro?
That was a nice goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet, man.
Yeah, I
just looked across, just hit it with a stick. That was awesome.
Yeah. The other thing with the Joe, I posted a few pictures online, but there are banners and banners and banners hanging from the, from the rafters in that building. Like, they have 11 Stanley Cup banners, and basically everything that the team accomplished got a banner, including my favorite. For 2 years in a row in the 80s, they were the Norris Division Stanley Cup, like, playoff champions, which means they would have beaten, like, the Leafs and the North Stars to get to the conference finals or something. So they hung banners for it.
The Jets won a couple years, too.
The Jets got that far in the playoffs. No, they never won the Norris.
Yeah.
The Jets never won the Norris, man. They never won a division. They won zero division titles. And they never...
They were in the Norris division until, what, 80, 82, 83?
Something like that, yeah.
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 And the one year they were supposed to go far, they lost in the first round to St. Louis.
Every year they were supposed to go far and they lost to someone.
They had Doug Sotard and Ed Stanowski in that. I remember that. But anyways. What
a great team. So the rest of the weekend, let's see, the day before, the Jets played Washington in Washington. Came back. They were down 3-0, right? They came back and tied it in the third and then lost in overtime. So they got the point.
They got the point. They should have got the other game, too.
Oh, yeah, the one that where they lost. They lost in regulation right at the end, right?
Yeah, the last thing I want to say about that Detroit game is I just love Tanev on that breakaway, just the toe kick. Like, you see his leg out there? Like, it was just classic kick his leg out for that on the breakaway there. I don't know. Kami is just kind of cool.
Everything about that goal was beautiful, right? Oh. Like, it just, like, the pass, the super shot.
Jump into the glass.
Yeah, the celebration, it was just, like, picture perfect.
Yeah, that was really cool. I actually, I threw that on the TVs at the Palomino Club there for the last period, so.
Nice.
I was standing on the dance floor watching the game.
Nice.
And then on Sunday, the game wasn't so good, right? They lost 5-3. Hellebuck got pulled. I had it on in the background, but I wasn't watching that closely because I'd just gotten home from driving back from Windsor, but didn't seem like that hot a game.
Rangers are a really good team, though.
It was a bad 5 minute stretch in the second period.
I think it's 4 minutes. Yeah, 3 goals in 4 minutes, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even after they pulled Hellebuck, like, Hutch got a goal put on him pretty much right away too, right?
First shot, I think. Yeah.
And then the Rangers went into a defensive shell, and that was it. They had one shot in the third period.
Ugh.
5 goals on 19 shots is what they scored.
So
yeah, it wasn't good.
I'm just looking up. So what's the record now? 5-7-1
7-1 Yeah.
5-7-1 So, 5-7-1, so you are 13 games into the season, and you've just signed...
Fourth in the Central. Fourth in the Central.
You've just signed one of your key defensemen, so for the time being, he's playing for you. You are sitting, fourth in the Central. You're 1 point out of the playoffs. You have played more games than most teams, but... So, at this point in time... you know, they're not right in the thick of it, but they're not way out of it or anything like that. They're still, you know, it's early and they're close. So
So if at the beginning of the year you told me that Brian Little would be out since first game and Jacob Trouba would be out for 13 games and Matthew Perreault and Joel Armia would be injured and we have all the kids up and you told me we would be fourth in the Central, I think I'd take it. No?
I take it, especially if you added in that we have the second worst power play in the league and our goaltending hasn't been great so far.
Has been like 900, I think. Hellebuck's at 900 and Hutchinson's at like 898 save percentage right now, right?
I think they're treading water fine right now. There's so many guys out. Mm-hmm. Perreault, Little, that's your second and third centerman. You've been without Trouba. Like, Myers is what he is, but he had a couple nice games before he got hurt. But he is in your top four, like it or love it. But that's two top four D and two top nine forwards, your centermans that are out. So,
what do you guys do for defensive pairings then?
Oof. Well, a lot of people have been suggesting to put Myers on the third pair, but I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. There's no way they put him on a third pair. They just love Tyler Myers so much. There's no way it's going to happen. I don't think Trouba, when he comes back to play, is going to start with a lot of minutes. He might even start third pair to start, like first game. Take a couple games to work his way up. But I think that they're going to put him top pair with Buff in maybe 2 to 3 games because, you know, they want to show him that we're going to give you top pair minutes here. This is what we want you to play. You know, they want him to play with the Jets, so they'll give him top 4 minutes for sure. And I guess with Buff and then Enstrom Myers, that's my guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't mind seeing a Morrissey Postma pairing either.
You could do a lot worse than Morrissey Postma on a third pair.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I just don't see, like, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter suggest tonight that Myers is going to go down to the third pair, but I don't see it. I really don't. I don't know. Like, Morrissey's been great, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
Who knows?
All right. What have we got coming up this week before we get to Ask the Superfans?
We have Dallas.
That's tomorrow. Right?
Yep.
Now I'm looking at schedule.
They're on the road for a few.
They still have like
they played Dallas twice. Arizona, home and home.
Do they? I'm just going to Jets here on the old NHL.com, their wonderful, stupid website.
That's what I'm doing right now. This website's awful.
Jesus Christ.
Dallas, Arizona, Colorado, Thursday, Friday.
So home to Dallas and then on the road, Arizona, Colorado, Thursday, Friday. And then Sunday, home to LA. And then next week, we got Chicago in town. So, in terms of where these teams are today in the standings, Dallas is right there with them. Arizona, Colorado are behind, right? So you got opportunities to kind of keep your ground at least over the course of the coming games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll
see. 2-3.
You know, the schedule actually over the course of the rest of this month doesn't look terribly rough.
No.
You know, you got like Philadelphia, Carolina, Nashville twice, Jersey. So you have a chance, you know, still at this point, and eventually I'm usually quicker to change my tune on, well, there's still a chance, but right now, if you get out of November, you know, at real 500, then you're probably sitting okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll see what happens.
I think November is their worst month for schedule, like games wise. Mm-hmm. Just kind of flipping through it here.
They have a lot of games, right? There was a stretch where like they're doing three games, like they did this weekend. They were Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Next weekend they're Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Weekend after that, they're Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Every team's got that, though, right? Because of the World Cup.
Yeah, that's not an excuse. Every team has that.
Yeah. But it does definitely in December, it gets... Well, no, that's not actually true. In December, you've got Thursday, Saturday, Sundays, the first couple of weeks. So it's just what happens. World Cup, and you got to fit an all-star game in. It's... Shit happens.
No rest for the wicked.
Yeah, well, they're professionals, right? And everyone's doing it. Mm-hmm. So...
Did anybody catch the Chevy press conference?
Yeah, I listened to it.
I did.
Matt, he's probably the best at maneuvering like a politician that's out there right now. Like,
oh, it's unbelievable.
He maneuvers better than Clinton and Trump, really. Like, he answers questions without answering them like a pro. It's the same old shit over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's unbelievable listening to him talk. Like, you can listen to him for 10, 15 minutes and get absolutely nothing out of it.
He's not even answering the question. Like, I can't remember what Friedman's question was, but I totally forgot because...
I think he asked him if he came close to trading him. He just kind of did the old, you know, lots of options on the table.
You really don't have control in a situation like this.
You do your due diligence.
It's classic. Classic Chevy.
No, he just kind of spun it as he was happy to finally get him signed, and he's looking forward to Jacob Trouba being a Winnipeg Jet.
He's a Winnipeg Jet.
Yeah.
He's under contract.
What else is he going to say? Like, I knew you'd cave, puss boy.
Exactly. I don't know what people expect to get out of it. Like I said before, I think the interesting interview will be when Trouba gets in front of a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get served too many softballs, but who knows?
Well, they think he's going to be here tomorrow, right? So they expect him to be here tomorrow. So who's the guy that's going to ask him, why do you hate Winnipeg, though?
Paul Wiese. Like,
yeah, you think so?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll play tomorrow, for the record. I really don't. He's going to get in and just get settled. And I really think they'll play him for the first game on the road.
I will say this. If the dude actually does get traded, and that was his plan all along. So you gave up, what, $2 million a year for 2 years to get to leave Winnipeg? Like, that's commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, funny to note, this year, I think he makes less money than Stu does.
2.5 he makes this year, yeah.
Yeah.
2.5 this year, 3.5 next year.
Wow.
That
was a pretty good tweet I saw earlier, but, we want to give you five, what is it? We want to give you 5.5 times six. Nah, how about Mark Stewart money? Okay.
I said also that he happily gave up $2 million a season for a guarantee he wouldn't have to play with Stu.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting conversation, though, hey, in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he sits everybody down tomorrow and kind of says his piece. Why he wants to leave, I don't know.
I think that he's already had those conversations with people. Well, you know, right. I'm sure some people were in touch with him while he was out, and the word is through there. And ultimately, these guys, they're all. On that side, right? Like, except for maybe Perot, who was like, well, fuck that guy, right?
Yeah. What's the over-under on how many times tomorrow we hear, it's a business. It's a business.
Well, it's true.
It's a business. It's a business. Yeah. No, I know that. But like you said, though, they're all friends. They talk. They know what's going on. So... I just hope he comes in and plays well.
That's, you know, and ultimately,
for everybody.
Jacob Trouba making as much money as possible helps everyone else, right?
Sure,
absolutely.
It boosts everyone this else's value.
It's great for everybody.
Yeah. All right, let's do Ask the Superfans. If you want to get questions into us, go to @AIHSuperfans and use the hashtag AskTheSuperfans. We put the word out really late, but we got a few, quite a few from Hanger Hockey. First one, how much do I need to bribe at Brian from AIH so I can be a guest on the next podcast? We'll bring him on.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. He knows his stuff pretty well.
He doesn't have to bribe me, but I'm not going to say no.
Sure. Yeah. But, Brian, it's too bad that you don't have your passport to sneak into Canada, because I went to the Devonshire Mall in Windsor yesterday, prior to going to the Windsor Spitfires game. Went to Lids, the version of the store where they sell jerseys. Oh, and they were blowing out jerseys. I bought a Pavel Datsyuk, Detroit Red Wings jersey, for about $50 Canadian. So that's like that's like about $15 in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I bought, I folded, and I now own a Maple Leafs jersey. It cost me, $34 minus 40%, so under $20.
Wow.
It was an, it was a Kadri jersey.
What?
For that cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, it was last year's model. It's last year's jersey, right?
So with last year's logo and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But I got it for $20.
So Alan, you need to tell us how Logan Stanley looked in the flesh.
So that game, if you go to my Twitter, the before the Stanley thing, I posted this fucking goal that this guy scored in the game. The guy did the Merrick Malik through the legs move.
Oh, through the legs.
Yeah. So this, it was a kid who had been traded from the Barrie Colts to Windsor earlier this season. So now Windsor's playing Barrie. They're up 5-1. This kid gets a breakaway shorthanded and he fucking Merrick Malik's the goaltender. It's like, you're such a dick.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think even McKenzie retweeted it.
Yeah. Logan Stanley looked, he didn't stand out either way. Like, he was fine.
That's an improvement.
Yeah, like he did.
Is he playing top pair or what?
He was playing with Sergachev.
Sergachev,
so,
really? Hey,
yeah.
So two lefties.
So yeah, they were playing together for most of the game. So he was top pairing.
Nice.
He's an assistant captain on that team too. So he took the ceremonial face off. I was like, good you for know, you, it, Winnipeg Jets. It's grit.
At this point, I'll take not notice him either way. Like that's an improvement.
Yeah, like he and he played. You know, he played big minutes and. Like I said, nothing stood out either way. Like he's, there's no offense to his game whatsoever. Like none. But if he doesn't screw up and he's responsible, then, you know, I guess we're okay. And
but I think we can all agree his ceiling would be like third pair as it stands right now.
But was he big? Was he big though?
He was big. Did he play, I can confirm he's tall.
Did he play big?
He actually, he leveled the shit out of one of the Barrie players along the boards and he took a penalty for it, which I actually thought was bogus. Like, they called it a check to the head, but this kid ran into his shoulder head first because he's tall. So I actually didn't think he went, you know, he headhunted at all and he drilled the guy. So at that one point, yes, he played big.
Nice.
That's
all this fan base wants.
Yeah, anyways, he's good. Yeah. ELC, sign him up.
Yeah. let's see here. Another one from Hanger Hockey. What team do you think lands Trouba if he ever gets traded? And is this more of a tourist move, from Overhart? So we've already talked about whether he gets traded or not. If he does get traded, my guess, and I have nothing other than just pulling a name out of my head, is Arizona.
I hope not.
For Chikrin and plus.
It feels like Arizona's one place where they could protect him, and they have the right amount of prospects, including defensemen, that they could offer it back. Now, will Arizona want to make that move? I don't know, but they're one team that could probably offer the right package.
They'll find a way to get him for Mike Smith.
Yeah, no.
We need some help on G, right? I got sick of seeing that on Facebook. Trade for a goalie. Oh, my God.
Just ride out. If it's a shit show, ride out the shit show, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to get better with Pavlik. Again,
right.
You know, me going into net for the Winnipeg Jets doesn't make Andre Pavlik an option either. Like, it's, you know, it's enough. I wish they'd trade Pavlik.
Today, Trouba for a goalie.
Ugh.
That's so dumb.
That's so stupid. I don't even know where to start with those people. Like,
I see those posts from Facebook, and like, it's amazing how the Facebook people make Twitter look like it's full of geniuses.
Well, Instagram's just as bad, but yeah, Jet's Facebook is just unbelievable sometimes.
I don't know how you do it, Brian. I
like to suffer.
I don't even look.
And you try to sucker me into going on that page too. I can't believe it.
Oh yeah,
I've stayed away for so long. Like, I can't take any more of Ben Sherrod as the best defenseman in the league. Shit. Ever. Oh my God. I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm not gonna do that to myself anymore.
Cooper's dad at two dudes in a hoe. When do we start to worry about the Perreault contract extension? Will that prevent a little extension?
No.
I think Little's age is gonna prevent a little extension.
Yeah, we talked about it last podcast. I think his replacement's already on the way, Littles. Mm. Jack and Russell. You
know, yeah, they've got too much down the pipe.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, and Perreault's term is the right amount too to kind of ease these guys into the lineup as well, right? So.
Hanger hockey again. Now he's quoted a tweet from Patrick O'Sullivan, who said, "I played with Turris. Yeah, I played with Turris when he went through it, and it's ugly." This is, of course, he's talking about the same situation as Trouba. Guys in the room don't like that a player comes back after saying he wants out. Hanger Hockey says to us, "Do you think the same thing will happen to Trouba when he comes back to the rink tomorrow?" Generally, I don't.
No,
me neither.
Not me, no.
And the NHL's changed from when Patrick O'Sullivan was like on the Coyotes there, like, and the team, the makeup of this team is different too. It's mostly young guys right now, and you know, and I don't think
most of the team seemed pretty excited about wanting him back, when the only person that really seemed to have a problem was Perreault.
Well,
the only person that said anything was Perreault, but I'm sure some guys had some issues with it.
Sure, but then you take a look at our captain, Blake Wheeler. It's not like he didn't throw his weight around too, right?
Yeah.
When he was coming into the league. So everybody, I think
if he comes in and plays well, it'll be fine.
Yep.
Yeah, it goes away pretty fast if he's playing well, right?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's such a big hole there without him. If he comes in and is similar to like he has been in the past, it'll be no issue. And you know, he gets along well with the guys that are already here. Except, you know, the new guys. But no, I don't think it's an issue at all. If it's an issue, Buff is there.
Yeah, right. Buff will take care of it. He'll tell Chevy when it's time to trade Trouba. He'll give him permission. Justin Laniak at Justin17L. Before expansion draft, should Jets, he's got given us three options. A, trade Jacob Trouba. B, keep Jacob Trouba to protect four forward, 4D, and risk, and he's got 56 and 40, so Armia and Dano. Or C, protect seven forward, 3D, and risk, and he's got Enstrom and Myers. Enstrom can't go. He has to be protected, so risk Myers. So again, trade Trouba, keep Trouba, and risk Dano or Armia, or keep Trouba and risk Myers.
I thought it was really interesting the other day. They were talking to Maurice about Armia, and he said that he's going to be a really good player for the Winnipeg Jets for a long time. So that kind of told me that they see him sticking around for a while and not somebody that they expose. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too far into a comment, but yeah. If he plays anywhere close to the way he's played, I mean, it's such a small sample size this year, but he's been, you know, there was nights when Armia was the best forward on the ice, you know? So just that comment from Maurice the other day just makes me think that they're gonna protect him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Las Vegas is going to take Lowry, so.
So yeah. That's the one that's going to go, Lowry. Well,
he's keep saying that, I get it.
They need somebody for first power play, so he's got experience.
Net front presence.
I still think that they're going to trade him. But they're going to trade Trouba.
Oh, yeah. No, Trouba's... Yeah, he's traded, yeah, for sure. Little's the big question, I think.
I think Little gets left unprotected, and he's the first captain of the Las Vegas team.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. He's going to have a pretty good team. Yeah. It's not going to be bad. I mean, they won't be great, but they won't be bad. Justin also asks, or does Vegas do the Jets a favor and take Stafford or Lowry I think they could use a sniper for their power play. Wink emoji.
Stafford will be without a contract.
He's joking, by the way. Yes, he can take Stafford because he needs to be signed. So there you go. I mean, the other thing with his signing, by the way, we had talked about what happens if he's not signed and can Vegas negotiate with him and takes that off the table. So right. At the very least, you're going to get something for Jacob Trouba. You've guaranteed that.
And I don't think the Jets trade him until after they win the cup in 2019.
He needs to sign. I thought about that. He's only signed till 2018. So if he wants that cup, he's going to have to sign at least one more year.
He's our property for 2 years after 2018 anyway. So
exactly.
You've got control.
One more question before we that was the last Ask the Superfans. Again, hashtag Ask the Superfans at AIH Superfans on Twitter. What's the reception that the fans give him in his first home game?
I think there's going to be some boos just because that's Winnipeg for sure.
That they're just going to validate his request.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why I don't think it'll be at home. I think they'll start him on the road.
Well, I think they're going to do a Tyler's Better chant.
Oh, God. Or a what?
Could you imagine?
Play the left side chant?
Play the left side. Oh, man.
Honestly, I think it'll be mixed. There might be the first couple of shifts when he touches the puck, it might be kind of some boos, some kind of cheers, but I think by the end of the first, it'll be over.
Have we ever booed our own player?
Did they? What were they like with Kachuk? I don't remember.
No,
not just 2.0 that I can remember.
I mean, Kachuk came back and scored 50, so that does a lot to shut people the hell up, right?
Yeah.
And Howard Chuck wanted out his whole final season with the team.
Not before that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Trouba comes back and his play is solid, people will, you know, initially they might do a little bit of grief, but they'll get over it if he plays well. If he doesn't play well, then then we'll see. And I'm sure it'll be interesting to hear all the like talk radio shows and stuff after, like with call-ins, because people have something to bitch about, right?
Oh man,
yeah,
I can't wait till tomorrow morning. To be honest with you.
That's why I listen to 1290 sometimes, just to hear the stupidity.
You're going to get a lot of it tomorrow.
Like listen to it all the time, but I just kind of tune in, you know, like on my drive to work and on my drive home, I tune in sometimes just for something to listen to, and I just hear these dumb things, and it's just unbelievable.
It was funny listening to Lawless today. He was pretty much getting pissed off at everybody who called in. It was kind of...
The show tomorrow morning... The call-ins in the event that Jacob Trouba does play tomorrow and the fucking election in the States. Like, tomorrow might be the stupidest day in the history of the world.
I'm curious to see what dumbass opinion Jim Toth has tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be... I've been so tempted to call.
Hey, Toth and Pappy are buddies now. They had a shave together, didn't they? Didn't you guys?
Yeah, they have. The Movember thing together, yeah.
So.
They purposefully sat us beside each other,
See,
yeah.
Best
you
buds.
Should give that a shout out.
I told him to go to his face. You're
cutting out, Pappy. You are cutting out. Find better internet.
Hello?
Nope.
Hello?
Nope. All right, everybody, that's our show. So again, go to AIH Superfans on Twitter. And interact with us there. Go to arcticicehockey.com for all of your Winnipeg Jets news and notes. And we'll go around the horn one more time. I'm Alan on Twitter. Find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Pappy, Big Pappy Pixie.
Okay, we heard you there. Good job.
I'm Brian at Brian from AIH.
And I'm Ryan, DJ _ Biff _ Winnipeg.
And again, thank you, Ryan, for joining us as a guest this week, and I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Cool. I'm at the Palomino Club Saturday night. Come down. First drink's on me.
Oh, well, there you go, everyone. All right, everybody, have a good week. Bye.
Stanley Cup 2019. Bye.